The gospel reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 11, and guess what? It's Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That's a surprise. Okay, so Mark 11, I don't know what the number are. 823, if you want to follow in the Pew Bibles. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was very late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
It was a Palm Sunday a number of years ago now when a church minister lay dying in his hospital bed. And the nurse came in to tend to him and asked, "Is there anything else that I can do to make you comfortable in these final hours?" And the minister said, "In the drawer beside the bed is a small book, and it's got contact details for my lawyer and my accountant. Can you please ring them and ask them to come and just be with me?" And the nurse said, "You don't want me to contact family members, just your lawyer and accountant?" He said, "Yes, that's right." Anyway, within a reasonably short space of time, both men had arrived, and they came into the room, and the minister lay dying in his bed. He indicated for the lawyer to come and sit down on his right-hand side and for the accountant to sit on his left-hand side. And the lawyer said, "It's very special that you would invite us here in this final stage of your life. Why have you chosen us to come and to be with you in your final moments?" And the minister said, "You know, it's Palm Sunday and I've been looking ahead to Good Friday." He said, "You know, I'd just like to die like Jesus did, with a criminal on each side." Welcome to the lawyers and accountants in the congregation this morning. It's great to have you here. Jeremy was just telling me this morning how much he enjoys my jokes. Most of them. Psalm 118 begins with the words, "Rejoice in the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." God is good. God is faithful. God is love. And God is everlasting. Worship is primarily about giving. Giving God our praise and adoration. Giving ourselves to God in our acts of worship. Bringing the burdens of our lives to the Lord. It is also about receiving God's grace and being renewed in our spiritual journey of Christian discipleship. The people of Jerusalem and the surrounding districts gathered by the roadside to greet Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem. Praise and acclamation was on their lips. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. This is a special event in Jesus' journey to the cross, recorded in all four Gospels. It marks the height of public adoration and recognition of Jesus as the promised Messiah. The narrative can also be found in Matthew 21, Luke 19, and John 12. It's hard for us sitting here some 2,000 years later to really capture the excitement of what the people would have been experiencing. In a few days' time, we're going to have the Queen's baton relay come through the city of Ipswich. I want to tell you that the excitement and the euphoria around that will be quite insignificant compared to the excitement and the raucous noise and the rejoicing that would have taken place on this day. It is clearly the prophetic fulfillment of the words written in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where it states, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." On this occasion, Jesus is lauded as righteous, victorious, and expressing great humility by choosing to ride into the city on a donkey. The crowd welcomed him with shouts of Hosanna and the ascribed title of Messiah as the one who comes in the name of the Lord, ushering in the kingdom of our father David. For Jesus is now recognized as the coming King of Israel, the one who is expected to bring liberation, freedom from the oppression of Roman rule. So much hope is vested in Jesus. From Psalm 118 that was read to us right near the beginning of the service this morning, the last few verses. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs or branches in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. But we must remember that the tide was about to turn. What is about to unfold is the most dramatic week recorded in the Gospels. It takes us from the shouts of Hosanna along the road into Jerusalem on that Sunday to the cries of Crucify him in the courtyard of Pontius Pilate on the Friday morning of his crucifixion. On the Monday, Jesus came to the temple and found the court of the Gentiles full of traders and money changers, making a large profit as they gave out Jewish coins in exchange for pagan money. The Jewish coins were the only currency accepted as offerings within the temple. You can see that price gouging is not a new thing. These guys were experts at it. And the events that describe later in Mark chapter 11 are also written in Matthew 21 and Luke 19. Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers and those who were selling doves as offerings and drove them out of the temple. And these words are recorded in Mark chapter 11. For Jesus taught them and he said, Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill Jesus. For they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. And so the religious leaders became convinced that Jesus must be stopped. They were driven by fear, and now they had begun to make plans to kill Jesus. On the Tuesday, it's a day of controversy, recorded in Matthew's Gospel from chapters 21 to 24, Mark's Gospel, chapters 11 to 13, and in Luke's account, chapters 20 and 21. And on the Tuesday morning, Jesus again comes into the city of Jerusalem and returns to the temple. And while Jesus is walking in the temple precinct, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders approach him and ask two questions. The first is, by what authority are you doing these things? And the second question, who gave you the authority to do this? Jesus evaded their questions by asking them, who gave John the Baptist his authority to baptize? If the religious leaders identified that John's authority came from heaven, then they would be holding themselves accountable for having imprisoned John. It was during his imprisonment that he was beheaded. If, however, they claimed that John's baptism was of an earthly authority, then Jesus would confront them about their not understanding who John was. But because they refused to answer Jesus, Jesus in turn refused to give them an answer to their questions about from whom his authority came. And Jesus then began to speak to them in parables. And later that afternoon, Jesus is located on the Mount of Olives with a wider audience, teaching and sharing in parables further truths of the kingdom of God. And that evening, Jesus returns to the village of Bethany, and Mark describes the unfolding events in this way from the beginning of chapter 14. Now, the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and to kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. This is a pivotal moment. There was great indignation on the part of some who were present. They protested about the tremendous waste of this expensive perfume. And despite Jesus rebuking those who had chastised the woman for her extravagant indiscretion, it sets off a new reaction in the chain of events behind the scenes. For Judas Iscariot was one of those present who witnessed and protested against the woman's actions. And we pick up the narrative in Mark chapter 14. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them. That was Tuesday. The next day being Wednesday, the scriptures do not mention this day. By the counting of the days, it appears that no event in the life of Jesus is recorded, and it is assumed that it may have simply been a day of rest. However, behind the scenes, the ferment of unrest and the plans to arrest Jesus continued. Thursday is the day of preparation for the celebration of the Passover feast, which is to take place in the evening. In the upper room, Jesus prepared both himself and his disciples for his impending death. It is already known to Jesus that the betrayer is Judas, and Jesus makes reference to the fact that one of them who shares in dipping their bread in the cup will betray him into the hands of the religious authorities. And this causes great consternation amongst the other disciples. Later that evening, when the supper is concluded, Jesus and his disciples, except for Judas, make their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, in which Jesus experiences great travail and exhorts his followers to pray. And this is where we pick up on the story on Thursday evening. So you'll need to come to the Maundy Thursday service to know what happens next. The arrest of Jesus, his trial, and the crowd stirred up by the religious leaders to demand the release of Barabbas and the crucifixion of Jesus. How the tide has turned in such a short space of time. For surely there were some of those gathered on that Friday morning who'd lined the streets that previous Sunday, shouting Hosanna. And now the leaders, those in authority in the Jewish religion in the city of Jerusalem, had so stirred up the people that their cry was for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be crucified. In this week's notices on the front page, I've provided readings for your reflection during this Holy Week, that you may embrace the opportunity to contemplate the enormity of the events that unfold during these few days. The suffering that Jesus was willing to endure for you and for me. Please join with me in the final steps of our Lenten journey as we enter into Holy Week. We begin on this celebratory note of Palm Sunday as we now turn our hearts and minds towards that journey that Jesus takes towards the cross of Calvary, his final days of preparation, filled with purpose for your sake and for mine. In the name of Christ, amen.